Good morning, and a very warm welcome to our very last service of 2025. I hope you've all had a really lovely Christmas. Good, good. Eternal Lord God, we give you thanks for bringing us through the changes of time to the beginning of another year. Forgive us the wrong we have done in the year that is past, and help us to spend the rest of our days to your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we'll stand and sing our first hymn, number 211, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come before you with grateful hearts, reflecting on all you have done for us this year. Through the highs and lows, your faithfulness has never failed. We thank you for the life, health, provision, and protection. Thank you for answered prayers, and for the lessons learned in the difficult moments. As this year ends, we give you all the glory for bringing us this far. May our hearts continually overflow with gratitude, and may we never take your blessings for granted. Amen. And now we'll join together and say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
This reading is how Luke describes the events when Jesus is presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male child is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Thank you for that reading. We're just going to think about this reading. We're going to think a little bit about Simeon. We read that Mary and Joseph had taken Jesus up to the temple, as was a custom for the Jews. And we have Simeon. We don't know much about him. We don't know how old he is. He's portrayed in pictures as an old man. And that's probably right. He could have well have been a priest that served in the temple. But we do know that he was righteous and he was devoted to God. And he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He wanted Israel, like many Jews, to be rescued. And it had been revealed by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die, that he would see the Messiah before he died. I think that's a great promise, isn't it? That this man would see the Messiah before he died. And by the Holy Spirit, he then went to the temple. And then we got a bit that's missing because Mary and Joseph came into the temple. They were like any ordinary married couple with a child to be dedicated. But he knew that this was the Son of God. We don't know how. Mary didn't come in the temple with a halo around her head. There wasn't a big sign saying this is the Son of God. So he was just an ordinary baby. So we can make assumptions that maybe the Holy Spirit directed him to Mary and Joseph. We don't know, it doesn't say. But he recognised that this baby was the Son of God. This was what he had been waiting for his entire life. And that is what was promised by God, that he would see the Son of Man before he died. And I think it was quite interesting what he said. He thanked God that he had seen the Messiah and he could now die in peace. But he also said, he revealed, that Jesus was not just for the Jews. It's a light revelation to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles that read this book confirmed that Jesus was not just for the Jews. He was for everybody. He was for all nations. He was for you and me. But the other thing, right at the beginning, that even though Zimmerman had waited a long time, we have the word he eagerly waited for Jesus to come, for Jesus to be revealed for him and to him. And we are waiting for Jesus to come again. Christmas story and it doesn't stop. Easter doesn't stop. Jesus rose again and we are waiting for Jesus to come again. Just like Simon was waiting the first time, we are waiting for the second time. Are we eagerly waiting for him to return? Or has it been rather a long time? And do we think, well, it's not going to be in my lifetime? He could come tomorrow, but are we eagerly waiting, as Simon was waiting to see the Messiah come to rescue Israel? Are we waiting for Jesus to come again to make a new heaven and a new earth, that we can actually dwell with him forever in a new heaven and a new earth? So that is a question I leave with you. Are we eagerly waiting for Christ's second coming? Or is it, do we not think about it? Do we think it's not going to come in my lifetime, so why have we got to worry about it? And Christ is for everybody. He's for our neighbour. He's for the homeless person outside the co-op down Cozy Corner. He's for everybody. And do we want everybody to be involved or be saved and be in heaven? So I think we need to eagerly wait for Christ's coming, but we need to then, our mission is to bring other people into God's family, to show through our lives and through our witness that God didn't stop at Christmas, he didn't stop at Easter, he rose again and he's coming again. So maybe we need to really think about Christ's second coming and eagerly wait for that to happen, because it's going to be a wonderful time, but it's also going to be a sad time when people we know we haven't spoken about God to will be lost. So I just leave that thought with you. And we're going to sing the next hymn, which is 266, I Cannot Tell. Thank you, Joan. Thank you.
The second reading is a continuation of the first. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after their marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
All give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I wonder what you see in the picture of this story you've just heard. A young couple bringing a baby to dedicate him to the Lord. Suddenly, an old woman comes out of the crowd and starts shouting about the child. On that verse it says, she praised God for him. She must have caused quite a stir. She'd waited years in the temple for God's salvation to come to Jerusalem. She waited, then she knew. We don't know how she knew, but she knew. And she told everyone. I wonder what you know about Anna. It's only two short verses. But Anna was a widow, a woman. That meant she had no status. She couldn't go into the holiest part of the temple, just to the court of the Gentiles and the court of the women. But she wanted to be near God, and that was the nearest she could get. She'd no status, a widow and a woman, yet God spoke to her. She was a prophet, recognized as one to whom God spoke. She stayed night and day, fasting and praying. She was open to God to hear what he said, and she knew the scripture. She was faithful, loved God and his people, obedient, courageous. She had a vision and it persisted for years. To keep it alive, she believed God however long it took. And as I was thinking about this lady, how old she was 84. What about us? What about me? When Debbie asked me if I'd share about Anna, I realized that there are some things we have it the same, but many things are very different. I am 84 years old. I am a widow. Do I tell everyone about God's love? Do I listen to him speak? Am I faithful, obedient, prayerful, persevering in all the difficulties that come in life? Even when life seems hard and I don't seem to hear what God's saying. It made me stop and think, and it challenged my life day by day. At the end of another year, we each one need to come to God and stop and think. Are we prepared to wait for his coming again? Are we prepared to be like Hannah and shout and share his salvation? I don't know about you, but when I look at Hannah and look at my own life, am I really courageous? Am I really open? Do I really tell everybody, shout about what God's love and what God's done for me? And the answer is a very definite no. Lord, I just want us to stop and think, are we in our daily lives sharing God's love so that other people
will know and trust and love him and come to know him too. Do we really realize that anyone who doesn't know and love the Lord Jesus and receive him as their Lord and Savior, when he comes again, they won't be accepted? We need to pray and trust and ask God to help us to share God's message. In John 1:12, it says, "To as many as believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God." As we believe and accept him, we become children of God. But our responsibility is to share that with others. I'd like to pray. Lord, help me to share the wonder of your story, to share the wonders of your death and resurrection. Thank you for giving us salvation and life. Help us not to keep it to ourselves, but to share it with others, for your praise and honor and glory. Amen. We'll sing the next hymn, We 740, We Three Kings of Oriental.
visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
This is a lovely poem, and it's called The Three Kings by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Three kings came riding from far away, Melchior, Gaspar, and Balthazar. Three wise men of the east were they, and they travelled by night and they slept by day, for their guide was a beautiful, wonderful star. The star was so beautiful, large and clear, that all the other stars in the sky became a white mist in the atmosphere. And by this they knew that the coming was near of the prince foretold in the prophecy. Three caskets they bore on their saddle bows, three caskets of gold with golden keys. Their robes were of crimson silk with rows of bells and pomegranates and furbelows, their turbans like blossoming almond trees. And so the three kings rode into the west through the dusk of night over hill and dell, and sometimes they nodded with beard on breast, and sometimes talked as they paused to rest with the people they met at some wayside well. "Of the child that is born," said Balthazar, "good people, I pray you, tell us the news. For we in the east have seen his star, and have ridden fast and have ridden far to find and worship the King of the Jews." And the people answered, "You ask in vain. We know of no king but Herod the Great." They thought the wise men were men insane as they spurred their horses across the plain, like riders in haste who cannot wait. And when they came to Jerusalem, Herod the Great, who had heard this thing, sent for the wise men and questioned them and said, "Go down into Bethlehem and bring me tidings of this new king." So they rode away, and the star stood still, the only one in the grey of morn. Yes, it stopped. It stood still of its own free will, right over Bethlehem on the hill, the city of David, where Christ was born. And the three kings rode through the gate and the guard, through the silent street, till their horses turned and neighed as they entered the great inn yard. But the windows were closed and the doors were barred, and the only light in the stable burned. And cradled there in the scented hay, in the air made sweet by the breath of kine, the little child in the manger lay. the child that would be king one day of a kingdom not human but divine. His mother, Mary of Nazareth, sat watching beside his place of rest, watching the even flow of his breath, for the joy of life and the terror of death were mingled together in her breast. They laid their offerings at his feet. The gold was their tribute to a king. The frankincense, with its odor sweet, was for the priest, the paraclete, the myrrh for the body's burying. And the mother wondered and bowed her head and sat as still as a statue of stone. Her heart was troubled, yet comforted, remembering what the angel had said of an endless reign and of David's throne. Then the kings rode out of the city gate with a clatter of hooves in proud array. But they went not back to Herod the Great, for they knew of his malice and feared his hate. They returned to their homes by another way.
It's time to pray. Gracious God, we come to hear the glorious message of this season, the glad tidings of great joy, ever old, ever new. We come to recall the faith of Mary, the commitment of Joseph, the response of the shepherds, the pilgrimage of the wise men, their experience of that life-changing day in Bethlehem. And this is not just their story this season speaks of. It is ours too. A saviour has been born to us, which is Christ the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. We pray for all those people that are finding life a struggle, those living with life debilitating illnesses, those in hospital, those waiting for appointments and operations, and those who just need your touch right now, knowing that you're always with them each step of the way. Be with our friends in care homes. We thank you for the staff that care so diligently for our friends. Lord, we bring our world to you. You've heard us cry out for the peace over the last few months. Bring peace to our world so that people can start that enormous task of rebuilding their countries after so much has been flattened and totally inhabitable. We pray for the persecuted Christians, for those that are going through dreadful times right now. Help us to keep praying for them and giving them the encouragement to stand firm in their faith, knowing that you hear each cry for help. Lord, give them that sense of peace that only you can give, that knowledge they're loved and prayed for all over the world. Give them hope, dear Lord. Lord, we thank you for those you've called to follow you across the years, and for those who had courage to respond in faith. Help us as we begin a new year to respond to your call, to be willing to commit ourselves to your service in whatever way you show us. Lord, we come offering ourselves to you. We know, Lord, that this Christmas message is not just for us, but for everyone. Help us to leave today with joy in our hearts and wonder in our eyes, to share that love that you have shown. May Jesus be born again in our hearts and made known through our lives. Amen. It's time to sing again. 714, Unto Us a Boy Is Born. 714.
The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learnt from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel wept for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.
When whenever we go away, a few days before, the packing list comes out. It's usually the caravan packing list, which is 3 pages of things that need to be checked that they're in the caravan. Or a much shorter one if we're staying for a night in an inn. But that's when we've not chosen the caravan. Yet there was one occasion, a few years back, when Andrew and Claire were living with us. We were about to go on a fortnight's holiday to Guernsey. And after them living with us for 7 months, we were very much looking forward to having some space. And then Claire rang to say that some of their friends they'd been with at the weekend had COVID, and they'd been in contact with them. Well, we had never packed so quickly in all our lives. The car was packed within the hour, and we set off for a premier inn for a couple of nights in Poole, miles away from Haslemere. And do you know what? Surprisingly, we'd packed almost everything. But I still had that niggling feeling. What have I forgotten? And do you know what it was? It was my shorts for the beach. Because we arrived and we went on the beach, and I've never worn jeans before on a beach. It was so hot. The wise men depart. As Elizabeth said, they've been warned in a dream to return a different route. Yet life doesn't ease up yet. Mary and Joseph don't even have a moment to take in the visit of the wise men. Those wise men that had travelled from so far. And they hadn't even had time to think about the amazing gifts. As that night, Joseph had another dream and is told by the angel to get up. No waiting to the morning. You have to escape now. This minute, go, escape. And that word implies imminent danger that they were in. Have you ever thought what an amazing person Joseph really was? He was so receptive to God. He was always ready to listen, and he was charged with caring for God's own son. But Joseph takes in the whole situation. He knows they must move fast. Herod can't be trusted. And he mustn't put this special baby in danger. The map in my Bible, it traces the path from Bethlehem into Gaza and then on to Egypt, where there are colonies of Jews living in several of the major Egyptian cities. Jesus is so young, but already he can be described as a refugee, living in a different country and forced to flee. So in the dead of night, they set off for Egypt. It doesn't take long for Herod to act. He is furious that the wise men have not returned to tell him where the baby was. You can just imagine how annoyed he is. He's been outwitted by these people, these foreigners. They came into his land and a new baby king that he knows nothing about. I can just imagine him pacing the corridors, getting crosser and crosser. So really, we shouldn't be surprised when he declares that the baby boys in Bethlehem and the vicinity are to be killed. Actually, we've seen it before, in the time of Moses, when his mother hid him in the bulrushes in the wicker basket. But God knows all this is coming, because we have the words from Jeremiah 31. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Another prophecy fulfilled. When Rachel, Jacob's favourite wife, she was the symbolic mother of the northern tribes, which were taken into captivity by the Assyrians. But Rachel is pictured crying for the exiles at Ramah, because it was a staging point for their deportation. And then this verse is quoted in Matthew 2 to describe the sadness of the mothers of Bethlehem, a time of weeping and mourning. And as I think about the Christmas story, I'm struck by the contrast in emotions, all the great joy and excitement when the shepherds were told the birth of Jesus, and now utter devastation as the soldiers search out for the young boys, going house to house, leaving their mothers' cries. Mary and Joseph are safe in Egypt, but they will hear the awful news of what's happened, sadness for their fellow Jews, but the knowledge that God has protected them. When you look back at the Christmas story, you see so many times God takes part in all the twists and turns. Think again about Joseph. At the start of the story, planning to be betrothed to Mary, but God using angels in his dreams to show him the course to take in each stage of the journey, making him such a stronger, and he's so much surer about God, and he becomes so obedient. On arriving in Bethlehem, he accepts the stable. He gets on with the task. He's obedient, setting off in the middle of the night to take Mary to Egypt. Joseph was willing to follow God's guidance, no matter what the consequence was. The more he obeys, the more God guides him. And we need to remember that he was just an ordinary tradesman, a carpenter from Nazareth, but God transformed his life. As we start the beginning of a new year, we don't know what God will ask of us. And if we take those steps to follow his lead, he will always be beside us, guiding us, enabling us to do the things we didn't think would be possible. But we just need to take that first step. Now, Tonya is going to put up the words of our final Bible reading, and we will read it together. Matthew 2, 19 to 23. Thank you. The return to Nazareth. Okay? After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child, and went to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, enlarge my understanding of the mystery of your birth, that I might rejoice in wonder and praise. Strengthen my faith in you as I face the paradoxes of rejoicing one moment and feeling sorrow the next. May your presence within me give me joy, even in the most difficult times. Amen. And we're going to sing our last carol, 337, In the Bleak Midwinter.
God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose years never fail and whose mercies are new each returning day, let the radiance of your Spirit renew our lives, that we may pass into the coming year with joyful obedience and firm faith, through him who is the beginning and the end, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.